Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. South Dakota Public Broadcasting introduces you to the candidates of the 2018 election. We have invited all the candidates to join us for live interviews on In the Moment, and you can find them recorded. They're posted after the show at listen.sdpb.org. Joining us now, Democratic State Representative Julie Bartling of Gregory. She is running for re-election to State Senate in District 21, and she joins us on the phone. Julie, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Lori. It's great to be here.
We were just talking earlier on the program about sort of the problems with agriculture in South Dakota right now, as a farm bill has not been passed and trade issues have caused challenges. So let's start a little bit with what some of your concerns, because I know this was one of the issues you have on your radar, are those trade tariff concerns. Let's start there, if you will.
Yes, thanks, Lori. Yeah, those are concerns from producers in my district. You know, we've seen a decline in the prices for soybeans and corn over the last few months. You know, and of course, pre-harvest pressure sometimes brings that on, as well as in the midst of harvest, that happens too. But I think the trade tariffs have brought about some concerns. And even though, you know, the president has brought forth a program that they will offer approximately $12 billion in aid, it's, in my opinion, it's not really a very strong aid package in helping producers, number one, to meet their input costs and to come out ahead when they really need to in this economy that we're at.
It's not necessarily going to cover the gap.
No, quite honestly, I don't think it will. When you're talking half a penny per bushel for corn in this package, it's not going to be a significant cost when you consider what your inputs are in putting that crop into the ground.
So, from a state legislative standpoint, what are the options really to sort of influence that conversation?
You know, it's kind of tough on the statewide level, simply because we don't have control of the markets in our own jurisdiction and things of that nature. But I think we can surely talk to our congressional delegation, whoever that will be after the midterm elections, and say, you know, let's visit with the White House and try to put together some really strong trade programs that will benefit South Dakota. I know there are the good possibilities of some great trade reconciliations with Mexico and Canada. However, you know, they're not the strongest points of us to sell our products. We need to look at, you know, the Asian markets and things of that nature. And, of course, they continually look towards South America, of course, especially in the soybean trade. And so, you know, sometimes we pull up second behind South America when it comes to trade discrepancies. So I hope that we can, as a legislature and whomever takes over the governor's seat, will work closely with the White House to say, you've got to make sure that our South Dakota producers are protected. And I look forward to those conversations.
Let's talk about some of the other issues that are top of mind for you. What are some of your priorities should voters choose to send you to the state Senate?
Well, of course, clearly, I think it's all across South Dakota. We still need to continue to look at the salaries for our educators, who are the teachers in the classroom for our young individuals across the state. We've done some great strides in the past couple years, thanks to, and I will give credit to Governor Dugard and the Blue Ribbon Task Force and the work that they did to pull together a really nice package that showed that South Dakota needed to come out of 51st in the nation. However, where we're at right now, we're still in that, you know, 47-48 lineup, let's put it that way. And to me, that's unacceptable. We've got a lot of young people who are in our four-year college institutions who are working in the education block, and a lot of those young people want to stay here in South Dakota. They want to stay close to home and to be a part of educating the future of South Dakota. But we have to come up with a plan that will offer a solid salary package for them in order for them to stay here. We are certainly a low-cost living state, let's put it that way. We don't have income tax. Sales tax is our majority of the revenue that comes in to support the state. And so we are very low-cost living. But in the same realm, we still have to offer the salary packages that will entice those young individuals to stay in the education field and come here to South Dakota to teach. We've got a lot of work to do, but I think as legislators that I have talked to, and myself included, we want to work on that and continue to improve that so we can guarantee the best and brightest education for our young people.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment on SDPB Radio. My guest is State Representative Julie Bartling of Gregory District 21. She is running for election in the... Do I have this right? You're running for election in the Senate now?
I'm actually running for the Senate, yes. Okay. Senator Sutton was termed out and, of course, is the gubernatorial candidate on the Democrat side. And so my hopes is to step up and pick up that Democrat seat.
Okay, and you have served in the Senate before. That's where I'm getting confused, because you have some previous experience in the state Senate as well.
I have. I'm kind of one of the oldies out there, let's put it that way. I started in 2001 in the House of Representatives from this district. It was District 25 at that time, and served for 4 years there, and then I served for 6 years in the South Dakota Senate from the same district. I did take a couple years off. I ran for state auditor in 2010, was not successful for that bid, but did come back in 2012, and I have continued from 2012 on to serve in the House for District 21. So
with the kind of experience that you have, you sort of, you know, see things evolve long term, as well as some of the bills sort of flash and then disappear. And talk a little bit about healthcare then, and some of the concerns that you've seen sort of develop over the years that you've been connected to the state legislature. And what are some of the conversations that need to happen next to sort of improve healthcare access for South Dakotans?
Yeah, we've seen healthcare really come evolved, let's put it that way, across South Dakota. When I first started, you know, Medicaid was it was a big program, and it always has been and always will be in South Dakota, especially for caring for children in through the CHIPS program and things of that nature. But over the years, you know, we've seen a group of individuals who are not able to access health care insurance, let's put it that way.
Right.
First, let's go insurance route. And, you know, they're working one, two, maybe three jobs, and yet those jobs don't offer health insurance. Yet they aren't, you know, financially able to attain health insurance coverage for themselves, affordable health insurance coverage. So there's just a lot of work that needs to be done, because I believe everyone, number one, deserves the ability to access strong health care in their local communities. And, you know, in District 21, we have been very blessed, because we have 5 hospitals in District 21, and that's pretty amazing for a small district to have that many hospitals so close together that offer rural health care. But we do find in many parts of our state that access to that affordable health care is not so prevalent. So we need to, in my opinion, we need to take a step back and say, what can we do as a state legislature, as an executive branch, to do what we can to open up the doors for accessible health care for individuals, plus work with the federal government to provide affordable insurance for those individuals who qualify. Certainly there's a group of individuals who will fall under the Medicaid program, whether they are children or disabled or the dual eligibles that might, you know, be in our nursing homes, assisted livings or residential cares, things of that nature. But there's a group of individuals that just fall between the cracks, and we've got to do something to help those individuals find health care insurance and be able to access health care on a daily basis when they need it through the right channels. And we need to work on that, because in the long run, it will save all of us money.